Very good, I take it. Well, good morning. I am here with about a third of a voice, but we're going to get through today. You know, it almost didn't happen, though. One of those Culver's drive-through order people just about robbed you of a sermon this morning. You know, trying to order a couple orders of chicken tenders. Sometimes we're kind of chicken tufts, but hoping for chicken tenders. And it was, what? And I tried to order. What? I tried to order. What? Finally, I had to go low to get it ordered. That always works, you know. Send it low. And so we got the chicken. And then I drank apple cider vinegar mixed in water all the way out here because I went online and they said that will help massage your throat and so you can have a little bit of voice when you get where you're going. And so if I'm not my sunny self, it's because I've been sucking on apple cider vinegar. I understand Dave does that and he's just the same as always. So. Oh, it's good to be here. This is a family that I love, and I've known you, some of you not very long, a lot of you for a long time. Some of you, a few of you, one of you for a very long time. Mark Millett back there, his aunt is my mom's first cousin, and so we kind of grew up together. I can't ever remember a time when I didn't know Dean and Mark Millett. But anyway, I was over at Sturgis, what's that? I'm sorry, giving you a chance to defend yourself. Over at Sturgis, and this is another neighbor of Rogers and the Millets and the Browns. I was getting ready to do this at the last great preacher shakeup. That's what we call the preacher rotation, you know, kind of stir it up and throw it out there. And somebody was talking about, you know, you've been around here a long time, Calvin. Yeah, I've been around a while. I've known you since 1985, and I've known you since 1982, and Anna Goddard was there. And Anna said, I changed Calvin's diapers. So she got the prize. I don't know what the prize was. Probably didn't seem like much of a prize at the time, did it? Oh, I think there was no country school teacher out there south of Prairie City one year, and so they had to go to Bison. And we were living in a little motel next to them. And so anyway, it turned out where she got to know me. So, it's great to be here. I'm thankful to have the voice that I have. It's hard to sit in here and not sing, though. You know, give away your songbook because you don't need it. But when the next time I'm back, I guarantee I'll be singing with you. Bow with me and we'll start our lesson today. Father God, thank you for each person here. Thank you, Father, that they love you and they trust you and they're here to learn more of you. Father, help us to see the vision that you had in mind when you made each person here. Father, you dreamed a dream when you made us. And we're here, Father, to partake in that and to be all that you made us and planned for us to be. It's through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, there's a little arrows to the, that means go forward and that means go backward. Okay, all right. Didn't know what I was gonna preach on this morning. The next drive-through place I came to, I thought, it ain't going to work. I might as well go in. So I went in. And they had one of those little tan sheets, little coffee nook sheets. If you're in Rapid City, they've got those little, you know, all over in restaurants and stuff. And there was an article about the bridegroom's oak. Do we have any German speakers here? Give it a shot, somebody. Bratmischik, or something like that. That means... Very good. Thank you. I know that to be true. Anyway, there's a tree. It's about 500 years old over in Germany, in near a little town named Uten. What do I need to do here? Is it this town? Anyway, it's a registered national monument, and it's got a hole in the side of the tree about 10 foot up. And this actually is a mailbox. It's got an address to it. They deliver mail to it. It functions as what they call a dead drop or a public letterbox for people seeking love partners, people seeking marriage. And there got all kinds of customs. One is that if a girl walks around the tree three times under a full moon thinking of her beloved without speaking or laughing, she'll be married within the year. But the bridegroom's oak, it got started. The history of it is there was a guy that ran the forest, the head forester named Ort, and he had a daughter, and she fell in love with a chocolate maker from Leipzig, Schutfelsch. And they were in love, but old Ort, Mr. Ort, wouldn't approve of the marriage. So they would exchange letters with each other by dropping him in this hole in the tree. And that's how their romance continued until old Herr Ort, Mr. Ort, gave in and gave his permission. And they were married under this tree in June 2nd, 1891. Well, then the history of this tree and the word of mouth passed. I guess you can go up there. It's a public drop box. Anybody can go climb the ladder. Well, that was another wedding that took place in like 1900. But let's see. Maybe I can get back to it. Do you see there's a ladder up the side of that? Anybody can go up there and pull those letters out and read them, but you can only take the letters that you're willing to write an answer to. You got to leave the rest in there for somebody else to come and take out. But it's interesting because the guy that worked here, the ladder was set up in 1927, and the old retired postman, he said he used to deliver 4 or 5 letters a day to this tree. And in fact, it's interesting because this guy, there was a television station that made a little special about the tree, and a woman saw this postmaster explaining the tree, and so she wrote him, and they fell in love, and they got married under the tree. So that's kind of a neat story about the bridegroom tree. Well, it got me to thinking. It got me to thinking because the bridegroom's tree, we have a bridegroom's tree. And this is our bridegroom's tree. You know, the passage that was read spoke of the relationship that we have with Jesus, and the guy on the cross is our bridegroom. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, that cross, is it about your worth or your worthlessness? Well, we know the cross is about our worth because you don't die for somebody that you don't love more than life itself. Greater love has no one than this, but that he'd lay down his life for his friends. There in John 15:13. If you give up your life for somebody, you're making a statement. What you're saying is, your life, your future, whatever it is that you would do with the rest of your life, is more important than whatever I would do with the rest of my life. And I'm willing to give up all of the minutes in my days, all the days in my years, all the years that I might have left for you. And there's nothing more precious to give up than your life. So the greatest love that any human could express towards another human would be to give up their future for that person. So the point is that God is in love with you. And that was expressed by the death of Jesus on the cross. See, you won't die for someone that you don't value more than life itself. You know, and so what you're saying to somebody when you love them with that kind of love, you're saying, I want you to be all that God designed and planned for you to be, no matter what it costs me. I value you. And that's the message of the cross. The cross is not about how worthless you are. The cross is about how much worth and value you have in the eyes of God. Because God loved you so much that he gave up his only son for you. He didn't have any other sons to give in that manner. His only son. And you know, when it says, for God so loved the world, it wasn't a pure and lily-white world that God loved. It was a sick, twisted, perverted, sinful world. Satan has had his way with us. And yet God loved us anyway. I love the passage in Romans 5. You know, maybe for some righteous man, there would be somebody willing to die. But God expressed his love for us in that while we were still these sick, twisted failures of people, he gave up his life for us. God is in love with you. So, how much he values us is seen in the relationship that he desires to have with us. That's another way that you know how much value and worth you have in God's eyes, is because of the relationship that he's trying to pursue. Now, it's interesting. Jesus had a cousin, John, and we call him the baptizer. And he said something in John 3:29. Talking about his cousin Jesus, he said, he who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, that would be him, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. John began to outline for us how the relationship between Jesus and his people would be. Jesus is the bridegroom, we're the bride. Christ's words in Matthew chapter 9, verse 15. Jesus said to them, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? But days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from there, and then they will fast and they will mourn. See, he is the bridegroom that is with them at that time. But he's looking ahead and saying, yes, there will come a time when their hearts are broken. There will come a time when they will begin to mourn and fast. But it's after I leave. So, now, it's important for us to understand it has always been his desire. I love this passage in Isaiah 54, verse 5. For thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. The Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. Isaiah 54, 5. For your maker is your husband. That was written 750 years before Jesus. So this idea of Jesus, the bridegroom, being married to the bride, his people, that's nothing new. Nothing new. And we'll look a little later at that. But it's always been God's desire. And in fact, it's interesting, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31 and 32, it says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Well, that's out of the garden there. In talking about the relationship, marriage. God started marriage with Adam and Eve, and he said it's going to continue on. Now, this verse isn't about Adam and Eve, because Adam didn't have a mother and father to leave, did he? But it's talking about every man that would take a wife was supposed to have that same attitude that Adam had at that time. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. I'm going to call her of me. That's what woman means, of man, of me. I'm going to call her of me. You know, when you look at the attitude that Adam had at that time, it wasn't her and me, it was us. It was such a connection. God worked overtime to make this connection between the first man and the first woman. And God says, and this is the way it's going to be. This is my will, how it should be for every marriage that takes place. A man shall leave his father and mother, be joined, and the two become one. But this isn't talking about an earthly marriage between a man and a woman. This is talking about Christ and the church. This mystery is great. What mystery? Well, just the mystery of marriage in general. But, he says, I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. This verse from Genesis 2 that outlines marriage is not just about the relationship that men and women are going to have in their marriage. This is talking about the relationship that Jesus was going to have with his people. And that was out of that passage that Brian read, Ephesians 5. 31 and 32. So many times in that passage it says, you know, talking to husbands, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Just as. That's how husbands are supposed to function, just as Christ did for his people. So it's always been God's desire to be married to us. That's the relationship that God had in mind when he made us. It's echoed here in Genesis 2. Now, guys, I want to talk to you. Women, you don't have to listen to this next part, okay? When it comes to this idea of being married to Jesus, when it comes to Christianity, we're all female because Jesus is the bridegroom, okay? If you can't handle that kind of relationship, then Christianity can't be for you because there's only one spiritual husband with only one spiritual bride, okay? And sometimes us macho men, we may have a little bit of trouble with that, but guys, that's just the way it is. If you want to have a relationship with Jesus, you can't be the bridegroom. You got to be the bride. Okay? And so, but that's okay. He's an incredible bridegroom. And so we see this focus of getting the bride ready for the relationship with the bridegroom. How do you make yourself ready? And this is a passage from Revelation chapter 19, verse 6 and 7. It says, "Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready." Jesus is the Lamb. The wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. How do you get ready? How do you make yourself ready to be a part of that relationship between the bride and the bridegroom? Well, we're talking about the cleansing of the bride. And this was a passage that Brian read out of Ephesians 5, 25 and 26. "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, make her holy, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word." Christ cleansed his church through the washing of water with the word. And why did he cleanse her with the washing of water with the word? "That he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless." Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. There's a reason why. There's a reason why baptism is called the believer's marriage ceremony. The washing of water with the word. It's where you come to God and you say, "God, I want to have this relationship. I want to be part of the bride. I want the relationship with the bridegroom." But this idea of cleansing is so much a part of it. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit." In order to be that cleansed bride, it takes saying, "I do," in a certain way. God has laid out for us how you get ready, how you become a part of that bride, washed with water and the word. There's a passage in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 that says that in baptism we are clothed with Christ. We are brought into him, baptized into him. So, maybe you've been looking for love for a long time. Maybe you've been looking for love in all the wrong places. You know, finding your love letter, what would it take? You know, they climb a ladder and then they find a letter, right? They They've got this little opening and they find, you know what Jesus told Thomas to do, right? Reach your hand in and put it in my side and do not be unbelieving, but be believing. John chapter 20, verse 27. The body of Jesus hanging on that cross, that is God's love letter to us saying, I love you so much. I so want to have a relationship with you. I want to be married to you. And that love letter is there for us. I don't believe that a human can stand in front of the cross of Jesus and look into his dying eyes and not catch some glimpse. You just can't come away and say, nobody loves me. Nobody loves me. No, that's just not true. You are totally loved. Well, so maybe you have said I do to Jesus in baptism. Maybe you died with Christ and were raised up to walk a new life, like Romans 6 says. After the I do, well, what do? Be faithful to your husband. That's the huge part of this relationship. Be faithful to your husband. And this is a special husband. Let that husband be your life. Let that relationship soak into every part of your life because he's coming back again to take you with him. That's what he said in John 14. You know, I go to prepare a place for you, right? And he said, and do you think that I would go and prepare a place for you and then not come back and get you? That where I am, you can be with me forever? Oh, guys, come on. I'm coming back. I'm coming back to you. Colossians chapter 3, excuse me, verse 1 through 4. If therefore you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. How are you raised up with Christ? A few verses before Colossians 3, it says, having been buried with Christ in baptism, wherein you are raised up with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised his son Jesus from the dead. Faith is what makes baptism work. Your faith in God's power. In the resurrection of Jesus. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. That's how you stay faithful to the bridegroom. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Buried with in baptism, we die with him, we're buried with him, and we're raised with him. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. When Christ, who is our life, let the bridegroom be the life of the bride. Let his life saturate into your life. Be that faithful wife. And keep your dress clean. Keep your lamps filled with oil. The Lord is coming. And keep your dress clean. You're the bride. If you've been washed with the water and the word, if you've been buried with him and raised up to walk the new life, you're the bride. And the bridegroom is coming. It's important how we conduct ourselves as faithful wives. Well, if there's anybody here that has thought about being baptized and just put it off. Don't put it off any longer. Don't get baptized until you're ready, but when you're ready, don't put it off. Because if you want to be a part of the bride, that's where you say, I do. That's where you take on this relationship with the bridegroom. Maybe your dress isn't as clean as it started off to be. Maybe you said I do, and then you kind of took off, and you weren't as faithful. A wife is what you could have been, should have been. We're here to help both groups. People that want to start relationship with Jesus, people who want to clean up their relationship with Jesus. We're going to sing a song, and if you have need, let us know what your needs are. Get a hold of Dave or Jim or... Alan's not here. I mean, I'm looking across here. We're missing a few. And just grab somebody in the church and say, hey, I need some help. I need your prayers. or I need to be baptized, let us know as we stand and sing.